crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy, scatterly-dee-bop, shabba-dooey.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
With Mike.
And Stephanie.
And Mike.
Oh, there's two of you? Crap, we're in trouble.
Split personality disorder. Both of mine with the same name. I wonder if that ever happens.
What, two twins with the same name?
No, two personalities with the same name.
I suppose anything could happen, Mike. You know, we'd already established before the show started that you have mad rhyming skills, so I thought you were going to make a poem out of that.
Does that mean when I rhyme, people get mad?
Yes.
Oh.
God, we should just start over. This is so bad.
Oh, come on.
This is so horrible.
Let's keep going. Okay. So we are Pork Therapy.
Yeah,
who are we?
We're Pork Therapy, and we do a show, a podcast about relationships. Right, Mike?
We do a podcast about bad intros.
Oh, yeah. That might as well be what it's about. That's what I feel
like
sometimes.
It's about relationships
anyway.
From a...
voluntary...
Thank you. I was mixing our slogans.
Yes. Well, our slogan on the website says relationship talk from a liberty perspective, but recently we've been kind of using a shorter one that says that we're the show about voluntary relationships, and
yes.
I kind of like that. It has a little bit better ring. What do you think, Mike?
I think it does, and it also is kind of very self-defining for people who understand the term, but for those that don't, it's clear enough that they know what we're talking about, but might also ask, and that's great. Like, ask, what's a voluntary relationship?
Yeah, aren't all relationships voluntary? Well, no, they're not.
Definitely not.
Yeah, did it feel voluntary? By the way, today is tax day that we're recording, the deadline where
people... For a lot of you people.
Yeah, for a lot of you people, right? And I was going to ask, you know, any listeners who are listening to this right now and saying, well, what's a voluntary relationship? Did it feel voluntary when you were... filing that income tax return, or all along through the whole year when some percentage of your money was being funneled out of your paycheck and into the hands of people who you don't know and you don't know what they're going to do with it. You probably don't like some of the things they're going to do.
That is a begging question, I think, because a lot of people might say, especially indoctrinated or those who've never thought about it, might say, of course it was voluntary. I told my hand to write, you know, my name on the tax forms, and I drove to the post office and mailed it in. Of course it's voluntary. And it's not. I mean, just because, you know, if someone puts a gun to your head and tells you to do something and you do it, you made your body do that, but it was not your choice. It was not voluntary.
Sure.
And that's what taxation is about, as well as everything that government does.
Because if you had chosen not to do that, then
they hurt you.
Your freedom and your voluntary control over your own body,
right,
about where to move and what to do and how to spend your time would be taken away.
Right.
Or so, at least that's what they threaten.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So tax day voluntary. So voluntary relationships. That's what we're a show about.
Yes. Yes, we are. And if you want to hear more about that, please go to our website. porctherapy.com.
Mm-hmm.
That is the place where you can find all of our old episodes and learn more about us, as well as find the Liberty Radio Network, which contains a lot more different voices, I guess you could say, talking about these ideas of liberty in different ways than we can, right? It's always nice to have other people's perspectives, I think, especially if you're new to the ideas of liberty, voluntary association, interacting freely with the people that you choose and not having coercion in your life.
All right.
You know, when we were talking about those taxes, just one more quick thing to add. We were talking about the taxes thing. Do you ever hear a lot of people who say stuff like, well, I paid my tax. I don't like paying taxes any more than you, but I do it, so you should too.
Of course.
That kind of mentality.
Of course. And that's sad.
It is sad. Yeah, because
it's like, well, I got beat up, so you should get beat up too. There's not even a difference between those two statements.
No, except the force was not maybe applied in the tax situation, but of course it was definitely threatened, right? It wasn't applied if you If you it kind of was, because you still got stolen from. You didn't get beaten up and didn't get your freedom taken away. Freedom, quote unquote, but
well, maybe.
I'm not explaining this well, but
yes, I've encountered those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those phrases, yeah.
Yeah, so have I, and I think it's really common because in the society that we grow up in, it seems like a lot of people have that kind of slave on slave mentality.
Slave like, on slave action.
Well, it's not that glamorous. <when you say it. laughs> Mike makes it out to be kind of a funny thing, but it's really a very serious topic. I mean,
sure, it's what the master wants. You know, it's what government, who's controlling all of us, wants us to fight amongst ourselves and not realize who's really doing the hurting. Government.
Yeah, and for the slaves basically to enforce the master's ideas.
Sure. Yep.
You know, that's basically what enables them to exist, because there are not enough IRS agents in the world to go after everyone and make sure that they do everything exactly, quote, right on their taxes. There are not enough IRS agents to make sure that everybody files a tax return or everybody reports every drop of income that they earn. But most people do that stuff because they're afraid and because there are other people around them telling them, well, I paid my taxes. You should pay your fair share, too. Right.
Right. So, and a slight variation of that is, it's not I paid mine, so you should pay yours. I mean, in addition, there are people who say that.
Mm-hmm.
But another variation is, you know, don't you want roads? You've got to pay your taxes. it's a necessary evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to do it for the good of society. Well, aren't I society? Is it good for me to have my money taken against my will? Hmm.
Well, and not only that, but you don't have the option to opt out.
Nope.
That's the thing.
You
can't disagree with your neighbor who wants the government to handle roads and schools and everything and healthcare and everything else.
Right.
You don't have that option. They're going to take that money from you unless you choose not to earn that money or whatever, and or choose not to file.
And to bring this back full circle, does that sound like a voluntary relationship to you?
I'll let the listeners be the judge.
Right.
Let them answer that question.
Okay, so let's hit our feedback real quick.
Oh, cool.
Or at least summarize it.
Sure, yeah. So we do actually have a topic to get to this show. However, we got some feedback on our most recent episode where we talked about pagans and some other topics.
Right.
And we had some... I would say mixed, but pretty good feedback,
mm-hmm.
right? So basically, on our last show, we did a little bit of a rant, I guess you could say, against New Agey religions. And if you go back to our old shows, you can see that we spend a lot of time talking about organized religion and how it can really, really hamper people's freedom in their lives.
You can catch
how it can
all
be
our
a giant
old shows.
Ball and chain.
You can hear all our old shows on our website, porktherapy.com, porctherapy.com.
Yes, indeed.
So go on. So we always talk about that.
Well, yeah, we always talk about organized religion and how damaging it can be, especially for kids when they're lied to and told things about heaven and hell. And if you're gay, you're going to burn in all eternity and God doesn't like it when you eat bacon and yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But then we spent some time on the most recent episode talking about these New Age religions, I guess if you could even call them that, where people are espousing, I guess, these mystical beliefs, or I would say beliefs that are not consistent with reality or that is observable by the senses of a rational person or is, I'm trying to say this nicely, but basically beliefs that are not,
fantastic.
Not supported by evidence, not consistent with reality. And
worse than not supported by evidence
contradicted by evidence.
Yes.
Yes.
So go on.
Right. So we were talking about that and how, you know, we don't support espousing superstitions and we really can't give those religions a pass. I mean, we're not trying to give you the hard sell. We're not trying to be jerks about it or anything like that or rain on someone else's parade, especially when they're not trying to force their views on us and they're not trying to hurt us.
Right.
However, we can't give those religions a pass and just approve of them because we don't, you know,
right.
It's not true.
I think we've even said that we approve of someone believing in fantasy and dragons and magic and all that stuff and God and whatever,
mm-hmm.
as long as they don't hurt anyone. Right.
I don't approve of it.
Well,
maybe I go one step further than you, Mike. But
well, I mean, I think I don't hold high regard of them or their intellect, but I don't have a problem with someone believing in fantasy as mm-hmm. long as they don't force it on someone, right?
Well, it's good that they don't force it on other people, But I do still think having those ideas in the world is not productive. It's not progressive. It's not
anti-progressive.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. I agree with you. But in my opinion, if they're not forcing their views on someone else, then they are being held back from their full potential and et cetera, and
yeah.
full happiness.
And I agree.
That's sad for them, but I don't see how that's a real problem. I mean, even if 99% of the population believed in fantasy, which is pretty much the case.
That's the thing.
And they're all, as if they did not force their opinion on others, which is not the case, because there's no separation of government and religion, for example.
Yeah.
If they did prevent themselves from forcing it on others, then they'd all be unhappy, but I wouldn't.
I suppose if you look at it in isolation like that, then, yeah, if they're not forcing their beliefs on other people, you can't complain. However, I do think that when people believe in superstitions like this, it may show a general lack of regard for evidence or a general susceptibility to believing things without seeing evidence, without convincing themselves based on reality what's true.
Mm-hmm.
And that scares me because when those kind of ideas are present in general culture or society or whatever, that it's okay to take things on faith and that it's good to take things on faith, then how can it end well? I mean,
yep.
I know I'm being very vague, but
yeah.
do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It kind of creates a climate where truth isn't valued and critical thinking isn't really a virtue and, you know, that kind of stuff. Now I'm sounding like Ayn Rand, but, you know, it's like, it just...
Okay, maybe you are.
Well, just because I said the word virtues and values in the same sentence.
Yeah, but you didn't call them evil.
No, that's true. I didn't say if you disagree with me that you're irrational. Well, actually, I did say that, so I'm just going
to
hide in a corner now.
No problem, Ayn.
By the way, I saw Atlas Shrugged this weekend.
Let's give a review.
And my favorite thing about it was the outreach that I did.
By the way, I saw a picture of your outreach, and that was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's good, cool stuff.
Yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know, the Free State Project actually sponsored some outreach about basically volunteer activists going to Atlas Shrugged openings around the country, because now it's a movie. The book has been made into a movie. Part one, anyway, has been released. And handing out some flyers and having conversations with people and encouraging them to join us in New Hampshire, because it was really cool. The flyers actually say something like, "Where is John Galt? He's in New Hampshire." So... that was pretty cool. We handed out a bunch of flyers. We talked to people. I saw some very attractive girls in the bathroom that I talked to. They were talking about New Hampshire, and I walked out of the stall, and I said, "Well, actually, I moved to New Hampshire."
What do very attractive girls have to do with it? That was like a tease. I thought you were going to say, "I saw some very attractive girls kissing in the bathroom."
Oh, I would have loved that, but unfortunately, that wasn't the truth. We have to stick to reality here. But, but hey, who doesn't like attractive girls? I hope they move to New Hampshire. I hope everybody moves to New Hampshire, and the Free State Project can get completed as soon as possible, and we can start creating a free society. So that was what I did this weekend, Atlas Shrugged Outreach. You can go check it out. We'll put some links in the show notes. So, okay, this started with Rand, and we ran away with the topic, so we need to get back.
Oh, boy, let's not get on a rant about this. I'm not into that.
That's funny, Mike. Good job. This is why I love having you as a co-host. You make worse puns than me. I don't know.
Okay.
That's debatable. Yeah.
I think they are worse than yours, typically. Yours are pretty brilliant and very quick.
Oh, all right. Mike, yours are brilliant, too. Mm. We make a great team.
Okay.
How about that?
Right. So,
our question.
We are 13 minutes into the show, and I think we should probably hit the topic.
Okay, sounds good. Well, actually, you know, we can build a segue into this, because Ayn Rand herself actually is, I guess, pretty well known for having a somewhat of an open relationship that it's dubious whether or not it was completely consensual or something like that.
I guess it's dubious because I wasn't there, but according to the movie and the book, The Passion of Ayn Rand, by the woman whose husband was in this relationship, it was consensual. So
that was Nathaniel Brandon's wife.
Right. Yeah. That's a pretty, dependable sort. No, of course she's biased, but the fact that she's biased towards it being consensual makes it even more believable that it was, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she does have a unique perspective because she was in that relationship. But I haven't seen that movie, The Passion of Ayn Rand. But
have you read it?
No.
Oh. It is interesting.
Yeah, it seems interesting. So maybe I will check that out. But it seemed like from my impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like so Ayn Rand was married to this guy, Frank, what was his name?
I don't remember at the moment, but Frank.
Okay, Frank. we'll call him Frank. You can see how much of a Rand scholar I am right now. We can look it up really quickly.
Yeah, anyway, actually. Come on.
Okay, so Ayn Rand was married to...
The magic of technology.
Yes.
Anyway, Ayn Rand was married to whom?
So Ayn Rand was married to this guy, Frank O'Connor, and she was essentially having another concurrent loving relationship with Nathaniel Brandon. It came about with the consent of her husband and Brandon's wife, Barbara Brandon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have looked with great curiosity at this relationship. And as far as I understood it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the spouses of these two, of Barbara Brandon and Frank O'Connor, were not completely thrilled with the idea of Rand and Nathaniel Brandon being together.
It seemed like it was the lesser of two evils on their part to decide to allow it to happen versus losing their, you know, love to the other, right? Mm-hmm. So they chose to allow it to happen. So it was consensual, but it wasn't happy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of the impression that I got, and I don't think that all open relationships or polyamorous relationships are like that. I guess if you've listened to this show before, you'll kind of get the idea that I think both Mike and I are big believers that nobody owns you and nobody should have a monopoly over your heart.
Right. Or can. I mean, yeah. Even if you claim to love one person and only one person for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. how can you stop yourself from loving someone who has the same traits if you meet them?
Sure.
Or traits that you value or whatever.
Sure. And of course, you know, you're trying to find the best partner you can find in life. But how do you know? I mean, sometimes it can be so hard to compare two people and say, well, this is the best partner.
You are our essay asker and he has a formula.
Yes, that's right.
Quite a few episodes back, we had a question asked in the form of a novel that basically espoused a position that there is a way to choose a...
There's a formula. Yeah. There's a... Based anyway, on income and physical looks.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But anyway, so... But yeah, I mean, you want to find the best partner you can get, right? But people are great in different ways. And it's... I think it certainly is possible that there is not just one ideal person for everyone in the world. I think that's probably not true. I haven't seen evidence of it anyway. And I think that... I don't know. There are a lot of people who... take joy, I guess, in people that they love being happy, even if that's with another person,
mm-hmm.
and have the feelings of security or the inclination to have confidence and not feel jealous if their romantic partner has loving or just lustful feelings for somebody else, right?
Right. Yeah, that's kind of what compersion is, right?
Compersion, yeah. So the idea of compersion, that's kind of a vocabulary word for the show, I guess you could say. But I think it originated with people who identify as polyamorous, which means that they like to have multiple loving relationships at once, or they think they have the capacity to have multiple loving relationships at once. And compersion means basically, it's been described as the opposite of jealousy. It's basically feeling your partner's happiness. I view it as a one side of the coin of empathy, really. I think it's if you're very connected to someone, if you have a partner where you have a very deep connection with that person and you see them clearly feeling joy and happiness, you're going to feel that joy and happiness too. Do you think that's accurate, Mike? Is that a good description of compersion?
It is. I mean, it leads to questions like, well, what if they're having joy and happiness with
another
man
person
or woman while you're not there?
Mm-hmm.
Then hopefully their joy and happiness comes home with them.
Yeah.
And they talk about it with you and share with you their happiness, and then you can experience it and you can share yours with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think compersion...
It's a very huge topic, actually, and should be its own conversation, but
you
can look into it. Or if you have a question about conversion, ask us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how would they ask us?
They can email us questions@porktherapy.com, and that's porctherapy.com.
Right. Or you can call us at area code 419-PT-LOVE-4
mm-hmm.
and ask us a question on a recorder, and we'll play it on the show.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. So Okay, so I mean, getting back to compersion, mm-hmm. I think that some people, when they talk about compersion, talk about it as sort of an ideal of something they would like to experience, but maybe don't feel completely there. And I think that's because that there's so much jealousy in the society. I mean, monogamous relationships are riddled with it. You know, every time someone flirts or doesn't spend enough time with their partner, feelings of jealousy can arise. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be over another person. I mean,
right.
I know.
Time spent at work.
Or
with a hobby or something.
With kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything like that.
With a hooker, whatever.
Yeah, snorting coke off a hooker's ass. I get really jealous when that happens. Yeah. So anyway, I think a lot of people experience jealousy, but maybe not so many people have experienced the flip side of jealousy, which would be compersion. And I think a lot of that comes from just the hype that surrounds this idea of the one person. You know, this idea in society right. That's in every movie, every romantic comedy, it's girls are just groomed from the minute they're born that they're going to find their husband someday and he's going to be the one and they're going to be in love forever and be happy.
Look at all the movies for little girls, especially Disney movies, where it's magical. There's magical prince somewhere in the world who will come to the rescue and that's the one.
Yeah. And
there can be only one, right?
Yes, there can be only one, exactly.
Not the Highlander reference, but... But, you know, like with the Sleeping Beauty, wasn't there like someone's kiss will awaken her and it could only be the one person's kiss or something?
Yeah. The prince.
Yeah.
Right. And so these memes are just all throughout culture. And I think it's really, I think it's definitely okay to question those ideas that there could be only one person in the world and you have to find that one person out of a needle out of a haystack and that you can only have feelings for one person. And when you meet the one, it'll be this amazing thing and you'll instantly know and you'll be totally sure and certain. And people who've been in relationships are kind of probably laughing at that idea.
Yeah.
It's like, it just seems a little bit not like what happens in the real world.
Right. So you know, love can feel magical, I guess could be used as a word. It could feel fantastic and beyond, you know, belief and all that stuff, but it isn't magic. It's not pixie dust. It's not Cupid shooting two arrows into two people and then they love each other. It's, you know, values that you like, you find in another person and you happen to meet and there's chemistry and et cetera, et cetera. And then it feels great, but it's not magic.
Yeah. And of course people can change over time.
Sure.
The person,
people do.
How many people have you known where it's like the person that they fell in love with is a different person or they've changed and evolved their own views.
Right.
I actually know of some people who they were in long-term relationships and then found out about the ideas of voluntarism or voluntarism and kind of radically changed their personalities. And so
that would be me.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not thinking of me, but me as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That happened to you. Yeah. I think it is possible to grow together in a relationship when you have a major life change like that.
Yeah.
And
it depends on both people. Or all people involved.
Yeah, exactly. It is possible to grow together in a relationship, but you have to have that deep connection and you have to have that open line. And it takes effort to maintain that really tight bond with someone else. You have to spend time together. You have to be real honest, radically honest, I would say.
Yeah.
Even about things like having feelings for other people or just crushes or whatever, that kind of thing. And some people at the end of the day really want a monogamous partner and really want a long-term lasting relationship. And that's totally fine. That's totally good. But I have to question the idea that there's just one person for everybody and you're going to be totally happy with that person for your entire life.
Monogamy,
what about serial monogamists?
I was going to say monogamy doesn't even imply that it's lifelong.
Right.
The institution of marriage does, but monogamy doesn't. So it's possible that they could, that it's not possible. It's very likely that there are people who say, I only want to be with one person. I only want to love one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, if that works for you.
Yeah. Although it's...
That's understandable. I mean, they might be closing out options like, I love Bill, and while I'm loving Bill... Fred comes along and he
and now
has traits
maybe
that,
I love both of them at the same time
but
for
I,
a period.
But I only, no, I'm saying they don't. They say, I would love everything about Fred, but I'm with Bill, so I will ignore Fred. I will not have Fred in my life.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So, and that's their choice. That's fine.
Yeah, that's totally acceptable too. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a, I think it's cool, and I think it's an accomplishment and something to be proud of when you have a relationship that lasts so long, that lasts a lifetime, essentially.
Yeah.
That you've put a lot of effort into maintaining, and you've done a good job, and you have something to show for it. You know, you have something very, very valuable that can never be replaced. I just think that you should, if you're going to be in a relationship, you should always be there, because at every moment, you're constantly checking in with yourself and saying, yes, I still want to be here. I'm still happy to be in this relationship. I'm here because I truly want to, not because I feel tied down or obligated or anything like that. I'm here out of my own voluntary will.
Mm-hmm. Voluntary relationship.
Yeah. That's what our show is about.
Yeah.
So this started with a discussion of Ayn Rand's open relationship.
Oh,
And we were saying that...
Which was already a tangent, I believe.
Well, yeah, it was a tangent. Yeah, but it turned into what's going to be kind of the... This is very relevant to to our topic. And it, in fact, it is our topic.
Yeah. But little does the listener know after 26 minutes.
Yeah. I hope they find it interesting anyway. I mean, give us feedback, please. questions@porktherapy.com if you want to weigh in. But we were talking about Ayn Rand's open relationship. And as far as I know, she never called it polyamory. She just basically had this... She was married, she had a husband, and then she had another lover or boyfriend, however you want to categorize it, who was also married to another woman. And as far as I know, there was nothing going on. It was only Ayn Rand and Nathaniel Brandon who were in love. And the other
Ayn
two...
Ayn Rand and Frank, too.
And Ayn Rand and Frank and Barbara and Nathaniel, right? Yeah. With each other. This gets kind of confusing, but... You know, that's one example of a type of poly relationship, I guess you could say. And... What we were saying was that how can we really know, but it seemed from their writings and stuff like it may not have been everyone's favorite option to have that set up in their relationship, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. And so we started off the show and we were going to talk about cheating. And what I guess the question that I really want to, we had kind of an open-ended topic for this show, and it was a question, it was asked by a listener, but it was a very short question, why do people cheat?
And that was the topic of our first episode, ever.
It was. Yeah, so this is a very important thing.
Right.
But I guess what I'm thinking about is, what would have happened if Ayn Rand had not had an open relationship, if she had just cheated in secret on her husband?
So, to be clear... From my understanding, and this is from Barbara Brandon's writings, mm-hmm. Barbara Brandon was married to Nathaniel.
Yep.
Nathaniel and Ayn Rand loved each other, and Ayn Rand was married to Frank.
Mm-hmm.
From the writings of Barbara, who was involved in this polyamorous relationship,
mm-hmm.
Ayn was married to Frank, happily.
Yep.
Ayn met Nathaniel and Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Ayn loved, or fell in love with, whatever, mm-hmm. became loving with Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not act on it. There was no, what's the word when you make a marriage legit by having sex?
Oh, consummation.
They did not consummate it by having sex.
Legit.
Well,
that's funny.
You got what I was talking about, even though that's not what I mean.
I did.
They did not act on their love by having sex or sexual activity. Instead, they brought all... Well, theoretically, according to the writings, they brought their spouses into it. So all four were in a room and talked about it. And Ayn said to Frank and to Barbara something to the effect of, Nathaniel and I love each other as well,
mm-hmm.
and we would like to be together. We need your acceptance, or something like that.
Mm, okay.
So that's what happened. And your question, you're wondering if instead of, then Barbara and Frank said, ugh, but okay, because I don't want to lose you. Essentially, right?
Okay.
And then it happened, but not everyone was happy. Then it eventually deteriorated.
Okay.
So you're wondering if Ayn did not take that tact and instead just secretly had loving sexual contact with Nathaniel,
mm-hmm.
would it have been better or worse? Is that your question?
Yeah, I guess that's essentially my question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it would have been worse on principle because... Mm-hmm. She would have been lying to a person she loved, Frank, and she would have taken another person she loved, Nathaniel, and had to lie about it, i.e. be embarrassed or
And put him in a situation where he also had to lie.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Although he probably, okay. So, just for the principles they espoused, it would be a bad choice.
Right.
What else? It would make everything harder. logistically, because they have to meet in secret and make it look like something else. And,
Oh, I'm working on another novel.
Well, it did take her 10 years to, or 12 years to write the first, or the second. Okay. What else? What are your thoughts?
Funny. I absolutely agree with you that it would have been worse to have cheated and done it in secret, because then I think Rand herself even said honesty is her highest virtue, right? Or is the highest virtue. And being dishonest in a personal relationship by cheating is kind of, it's an example of denying reality, or, you know, not espousing the truth. Clinging to something that is illusion and lies and falsehoods. So yeah, that I think that would have been pretty egregious, both in Rand's eyes and in my own. I have to say, I probably like the situation slightly better that they
talked.
They did it out in the open. They talked to each other, and they
did it out in the open. Well, go on.
I don't think they did, because that would have made their partners jealous. But well, I mean that they laid their cards out on the table and said, "Hey, you know, we're." I mean, I don't know how their partners couldn't have noticed that they were falling
flirting
in love and flirting and spending time together and stuff. And I think if you're going to fall in love with someone, that is kind of a prerequisite. So maybe there's a question of, well, how close were they really to their spouses if their spouses had no idea this was going on? Or did they? Did they?
I don't know. But even if they did have an idea, they might have thought that things were going to be fine, that it was just a crush and they'd come back to me. Or
Or they're just friends.
Or they're not going to act on this crush because they love me or whatever.
Until
it was out in the open. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I like the honesty there. I like the part that – I like the fact that they put this – feeling of love for each other out in the open. However, it does sound like it was dubious consent on the part of both spouses, Frank and Barbara, and who knows what their agreement was or if they even talked about this at all, but were Frank and Barbara allowed to see other people if they wanted to? Were they allowed to fall in love with others?
I'm trying to remember from Passion of Ayn Rand whether that was part of the discussion. I don't recall.
Well, I was just thinking it wouldn't be good if there was a double standard.
Right.
You know?
And I kind of doubt that Ayn Rand would have had a double standard.
Yeah, me too.
But it's possible.
Logical,
so just to abstract, it would be bad to say, I love another person and I'd like you to accept me sleeping with them, but you can't.
Right, yeah.
Like
polygamy.
Right. Like polygamy is a form of it's a one-sided form of polyamory.
Yeah. Where the man can have multiple wives.
But not... The women can't.
Right. And forget about anybody being gay. That's just out of the thing. That's like, woo, out in left field for them anyway. Yeah, so polygamy, right, would be an example of a double standard.
Right.
And I don't agree with that.
Actually, just to be technical here, is that polygamy or polygyny?
I think it's technically polygyny.
Right, because polygamy does mean multiple marriages. It could be both sexes.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think when people say polygamy, they're referring to polygyny.
Yes.
And polyandry would be
the male version.
Someone, having multiple husbands, I guess. Right. So, but you don't see that very commonly.
Infrequent.
Except in discussions. I've heard it, you know where I've heard that word? In discussions of like the liberty movement. Where
polyandry?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of this interview I saw one time. Allison Gibbs from Lola did this interview with Reason TV, and they were asked, the interview was, Lola is the Ladies of Liberty Alliance. You can check them out, lola.org. And she was doing this interview with Reason TV, and they were asking her questions about the number of men versus number of women in the Liberty movement. And what she said was that from her observations, it was approximately 19 to 1, so a lot more men than women. And I think, I don't know, it's difficult. I'm sure the numbers are contextual and depend on geographic location and
self-selecting
different
circles,
subgroups and stuff like that. But I do think it's accurate to say that a lot of times in the Liberty movement, there are more men than women. And so the interviewer in that interview asked, so is the solution polyandry? And she basically said, well, if it's voluntary, I don't have a problem with it.
You know, there's a book by Robert Heinlein called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And it's, you guys can look it up. But a very, very brief summary is that there's a colony of people on the moon and they fight for their independence. But the way they became colonized on the moon resulted in there being far more men than women.
Right.
So women were the hot commodity.
Everyone,
they could pick and choose their man. Mm-hmm. So a different form of relationship
emerged.
Mm-hmm. And it's very fascinating.
Yeah, that is interesting. We'll also, man, we have a lot of links in our show notes today. So, was her kind of polyamorous relationship better than overt cheating? And I think we both agree that yes, but it still wasn't ideal because it did seem like there was kind of dubious consent on the part of
both of her partners. I don't know what you mean by dubious consent. Obviously, by the results of a couple years later, Frank and Barbara were not extremely happy about it happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what you mean by dubious consent, because if each of them said, yes, this is okay, and according to the writings they did, that's consent. There's nothing doubtful about that.
Yeah.
They might have been, you know, not exceptionally joyous. They might not have had compersion about it, but
yeah.
they did say it for whatever reason. And I don't think it was blackmail or force. I think it was the better of two evils. I think they thought, well, these two are going to have sex behind our backs or with us knowing it on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. So,
wow, that was when they did it, huh?
Well, they actually had a schedule. I don't think it was that strict, but they said, Ayn will be with Nathaniel these days. And
right.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Frank and Barbara basically said, well, I'd rather know about it than not.
Yeah.
So not happy, but consensual.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, there are different levels of consent,
yeah.
But it just seems like to me, if I was going to be in that kind of relationship, I would want to make sure that I wasn't doing something that was going to constantly be hurting or...
That's a good point. That's probably where we should go with this. Because while it was consensual, in my opinion, maybe Ayn, who was kind of... Maybe Ayn and Nathaniel could have done more to be aware of their other loves, their original loves, feelings.
Yeah.
Because they got what they wanted out of it, a second love.
Mm-hmm.
And... They may not have considered enough their original love's feelings. Like maybe Frank and Barbara, for example, thought, "All right, if it makes you happy, do it. I'm not happy about this, but if it's going to happen, it's going to happen."
Yep.
And Ayn and Nathaniel could have stopped and thought, "Well, you know what? Ayn could have stopped and thought and said, I want Nathaniel, but I'm going to be hurting Frank every time I do this. Is it really worth it?"
Mm-hmm.
And maybe come up with a better solution or maybe bypass the whole Nathaniel thing altogether to not hurt Frank.
Mm-hmm.
So there were other options.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder if Ayn Rand ever got jealous of Barbara, because Nathaniel not only loves her, but he also loves Barbara, too.
I see what you mean by jealousy going both ways.
Right.
I kind of doubt Ayn Rand ever got jealous because I think Ayn Rand felt herself superior to everyone.
She had no feelings.
No, I didn't say that.
Just kidding.
But it could happen. It could happen that the jealousy works in both directions.
Sure.
And in fact, if you classify what Ayn and Nathaniel had as new relationship energy, which maybe it was because it kind of wore out, then when it does start to wear out, then maybe that's when that jealousy kicks in. Like Ayn says, yeah, I'm with you on Tuesday, but what's Frank doing right now? Who knows?
Yeah, I say that all the time. What's Frank doing right now? No, yeah, I hear what you're saying. And so it's interesting. I think overall, it is better to... I think it's always better to have things out in the open,
right.
Even if maybe they're painful. But at the same time, I don't think that it didn't seem like they did have an ideal situation. However, most monogamous relationships are not ideal either.
Right.
I have to say, there are very few people in this world who have ideal romantic relationships or personal relationships.
And
of
even
any
if
kind.
They do, it's kind of temporary. I'm not trying to be depressing or a downer or come down on anyone who is in that position, but people change. And if you guys are at the moment total ideal perfection and harmonious rainbows, enjoy it because it's probably not going to last very long. You each change, the environment around you changes, and your resources have to go elsewhere, and then your relationship changes. It's not going to last forever.
Sure. And I think that's okay. I don't think all relationships have to model traditional monogamous marriage. It's your relationships are what you make out of them, right?
Yeah.
And you can have whatever you want, essentially, as long as you are...
Accepting Alice.
What's that?
You can have anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Accepting Alice. Sorry, it's a song.
That's nice. Yes, I remember that. Anyway. So you can... you can have what you want out of a relationship, excepting Alice. But, you know, as long as you're acting in such a way that whoever is with you wants to be there and is there of their own volition.
Right.
And I really think that's what it boils down to, right? You
know, yeah. I back to the Ayn Rand example. It's very possible that once she presented this to her, you know, to Frank and Barbara, that Frank and Barbara perhaps let it happen and stayed in the relationship because that was the cultural norm at the time. Divorce was not as prevalent back in 1950 or whatever.
Neither was polyamory.
Well, good point. So they might have been exceptionally unhappy, but just thought putting up with it was better than divorce. Now, if Ayn said to Frank, I'm going to also love Nathaniel, is that okay with you? I'm trying to bring this back to what you just said. Ayn is not working to please him. Why would Frank want to be with Ayn? If he wants to be with monogamous, now he's much more likely to leave.
Right.
She's not really making him want to stay by doing that. So that's something to think about.
Sure. She's not really enticing him to stay.
Yeah.
I don't think you can make someone.
Right.
I shouldn't have said that too. I did the same thing, but okay. So originally we had set out to talk about why do people cheat. Mike, do you want to add some brief thoughts to this? Why do people cheat?
Oh, I think we've talked about it on past episodes. It's with conflict, because they think telling them that they love someone else or want to be with someone else is going to hurt them or cause conflict, and so they'd rather avoid that and just do it in secret, not realizing that it's going to be found out, and when it is, it's going to cause much more pain and conflict than if they had told. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much spot on. I think that, in general, there's just not a lot of there's not enough honesty in relationships for most people to keep an open line of communication and to have that connection where they can tell their partner anything and without fear, without apprehension, you know, they literally can share everything with their partner. And I think that's what makes a strong and good relationship, no matter what type or style of relationship it is, you know? So
I wonder if you could have a polyamorous work relationship. You can have multiple bosses.
Oh, of course you could, yeah.
That's accepted.
Except it would be poly-workerous or
poly-employmentous. You know, that's interesting, actually, because you can have a poly almost any other relationship but romantic. You can have more than one sibling.
Oh, more than one kid.
Boss, more than one kid. You can have more than one dad.
Yeah.
You can have more than one anything.
More than one friend.
Yeah.
Even very close friends.
But love? Nope. That can't happen. Interesting.
You can even have more than one love over the course of a lifetime, but people just don't consider it okay to have more than one love at the same time.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating.
Yeah. I know. It is interesting. You know, I wouldn't want to tell anyone what kind of style of relationship would be best for them. That's for them to figure out on their own and, of course, do more their own research about it. But, man, I do think that it's definitely worth questioning those ideas that every single relationship should model traditional heterosexual monogamous marriage, you know, with the purpose of reproduction and all that. I'm not even talking about polyamory. I'm just talking now about, in general, some people don't want to live with their spouse or their long-term partner. Some people want to have a partner who's a different age than them or whatever. I mean, of course, consenting adults, but, you know, like a large age difference.
Right.
Or some people never want to have children, you know?
Right.
And so I just think there are a lot of different types and styles of relationships out there, and you have to find what works for you. It's kind of a lifelong process, I guess, to try to perfect that. A lot of people do strive for those lifelong relationships that can last and stand the test of time and be there forever. But they can come in many different forms.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So. Okay.
Cool. Is that a good way to end off?
I think so. It's a happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a happy ending. So if you want to visit our website, you can do so at porktherapy.com, porctherapy.com. Check out all our past shows.
Yeah, from there you can do all kinds of... You can do anything pork therapy related from our website. Call us, email us, join our mailing list, you know, leave a comment, rate our shows, listen to our shows.
Absolutely.
And more. Find us on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed. And no, there's really nothing else I want to say.
Nope. All right, thanks for listening.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy, advice.
as good as a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork Therapy. Scatterly Debop Shabadooey.